Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. I love that song so much because it speaks to each and every one of us on a day-to-day basis. Amen. New beginning is always a good thing, especially when we are centered in Christ. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministries. We are a blog talk radio, an interactive blog talk radio. And what does that mean? That means that we look forward to hearing the brothers and the sisters of Christ, the body of Christ. We look forward to hearing from you so that we can interact about the Word of God, and we can just grow, and we can just have a good time in the Lord. Amen. So we're always looking forward for you to interact. This evening we have Bishop Eddie Harris from out of Chicago once again, and we do thank him each and every time for taking out the time to come on blog radio and to just share with us the good news. We look forward to hearing from him. He always brings a powerful message, and we're just anxious to hear what God has laid on his heart. For those of you that tuned in by internet, if you choose to call in and participate or interact, you can call in 347-274-0254, or you can go to the chat line if you have a comment, and someone will comment right back to you. Amen. We are looking forward to hearing from you. We're looking forward to a good time in the Lord this evening. We're here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock, starting at 7 o'clock. And we're going to right now turn it over to Bishop Harris. Amen. Bishop Harris, you can start us off in prayer, and you can go ahead and lead the way, and we will follow. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Truly, we thank God for this evening and for this wonderful time of gathering, and we thank God for this beautiful pastor and given this opportunity. And so we're going to open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this evening and for this time of worship and this time of gathering. And as we come together, God, we ask that you move me out the way and that you step in the way and that you have your way, dear God. Lord, let the word touch someone. Let it be a light unto someone's path. Let it lead them and show them and guide them, dear God. And, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Truly, again, as I said, we thank God for this opportunity and for giving us this chance and allowing us to do what we do. And so for that, we want to say thank you, and we want to say God bless you, Pastor, for your endeavors and all that you're doing to spread the word. Amen. Amen. We're going to go into Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter and the 1st verse. And that's where we're going to start. And it reads, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace." And we're going to stop right there this evening, and we'll go a little further. If I was going to take a topic this evening, the topic would be, what time is it in your season? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say that again. What time is it in your season? We find ourselves in the church community, and in the Christian community, we constantly say, "It's my season." Mm-hmm. And that seems to be a phrase or a word that we tend to use quite often, and we seem to throw it around. It's my season. It's my season. Or we'll say, it's my time. But we get upset when things are not going right for us. We say, God, it's my season and it's my time, but why aren't things going right? But the question is, what time is it in your season? What we have to realize is that there are different times in each season. And so the question this evening is, what time are you in your season? See, everybody's season is not necessarily the same. And everybody is not in the exact same time area or in the same dispensation, shall I say, in their season. So the question is this evening, what time are you in? We have to understand how the season is broke up. And when we realize that, we can begin to ask ourselves the question, is this your time of breaking up the ground, or is this your time of working? What time are you in? A lot of times we just want to be ready to reap and ready to gain, and I should be reaping, and this is my time. But is this your time of tilling the land, your time to work? There's a time that you got to put in some work. And you might be in your season, but this is your time of working. Your time of getting ready to get your hands dirty and tilling the ground and getting the ground ready. We know that the Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. And so this could be very well your time of breaking up the ground or putting in work before you can receive anything. Because we realize that you got to put in some work in order to get something back. And if you're not putting nothing in and you're not doing no work, how can you expect to receive something from God? So this could very well be your time of breaking up the ground, or as I said, your time of work. Because like I said, before you can receive anything, you have to put in work. You can believe all day long. You can keep saying, I believe, I know it's going to happen, I know it's going to happen. But it's not going to happen by osmosis. You've got to put in work. As I said, the Bible tells us that over in James, faith without work is dead. And then over in 2 Thessalonians, it says that if you don't work, you don't eat. So you could very well be in a time of work. And does that mean that you're not going to get a blessing? No. What that means is you should be in anticipation. Let me put in as much work as I can put in. Let me get my ground together, because the better my soil is and the better the ground is from what I'm planting in, the better I'm going to receive. So this is a time to get busy and get excited. Don't get tired. Don't fall out. I can't take it no more. Get to the ground and get to working. Understand that you might be a little tired. You might get tired, but you got to keep going, because you are looking and anticipating at what's coming for you. So this could very well be your time of working. And like I said, the Bible tells us that if you don't work, you don't eat. So this could very well be your season and be your time at work. And maybe you've passed the time of work. Maybe you've put in your work, you've prayed, you've did what you need to do, you've done your fasting, and you've gotten the ground ready. You've broken up your folly ground. You've broken up your heart. You are in the place. So this could be your time of planting. And how many know planting seeds is important? Because we can sit and we can put in the work, but then if we don't put nothing into the ground, how can we get something out? So you got to ask yourself, am I in the time of planting? And if so, what am I planting? Am I planting good seed? What am I putting in the ground? Because the Bible tells us that you'll reap what you sow. So you got to ask yourself, what am I planting? What is it that I'm doing? What kind of work am I putting into the ground? And as I said, you got to be real careful what you do, because you reap what you sow. And the thing is, you don't just reap one plant. You reap an entire harvest. So I ask you this evening, if you're in the time of planting and in the time of sowing, what are you sowing? Are you sowing good ground? Or are you sowing hatefulness? Are you sowing love? Are you sowing discord? See, it can very well be your season, but what time are you in your season? And depending on what time it is in your season depends on what your outcome is going to be. Amen?
Amen.
So I ask again to pay attention to where you're at and ask God, God, where am I at in my season? And if I am in the planting season, am I being careful? Am I putting the right thing out? Am I being kind to my brother? Am I being kind to the next man? Am I doing what I need to do? Because the thing is, in Deuteronomy 22:9, it says, ye shall not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seed, or all of the produce of the seed which you have sown, and the increase of the vineyard will become defiled. So you can't sow two different seeds. Today, I trust God. Today, I believe God. Today, I know he's going to do it. Tomorrow, because it didn't happen, now you're doubting. Tomorrow, because it didn't happen, you're falling apart. Tomorrow, because things didn't go the way you wanted them to do, everything is going awry. You're sowing two different seeds. And so now you're defiling the whole vineyard. So all the work that you've put in and everything that you've done is for naught, because you've just wasted your time, because now you've defiled your vineyard. So what are you planting? What are you putting in the ground? Amen. And before we go any further, we'll take a minute to see if there's any comments.
Amen. All of your mics are open. Anyone that would like to make a comment, you do not have to hit one. I have opened all of your mics, so you can just go ahead and comment. But I just would like to add that if you are talking or you have anything in the area that's distracting, please mute your phones. Mics are open for each and every one of you. We have 312-843-670-7073-216. Any one of them. Yes, my brother.
Hey, man, if we don't have it.
I think someone was trying to make a comment.
Okay.
My brother, you can go ahead and you can make a comment if you would like.
The word, this isn't the brother, but I think the word, what you just spoke was so true and simple to understand, but we have to be reminded. And I know we say that a lot. And that's why we have a fellowship of saints to remind us. But I like the part that you said, and I never really thought too much about it, about planting different seeds in the soil, you know, in your vineyard. And when I've been doing yard work and, you know, doing different things with the in our garden and so forth, and one seed can overtake the other seed. You know, the intention may have been good to plant two seeds, you know, two different types of crops or seeds in a garden, but one can overtake the other one. And so we have to be so careful. And I like that you brought that up, because it really gave me something to think about being careful, even in good intention, with what we do and what we say, and to keep your intentions right, to keep your intentions godly. I like that.
Amen, amen. And like you said, it is so true, because you can speak a blessing and turn around and speak a curse. Because the power of life and death is in your mouth. It's in your tongue. And you got to remember that whatever you send those words out to do, they're going to do. And that's why the Bible tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We can't be unstable when we're planting seeds, because if I can just step off for a minute and imagine, I live in the Midwest, and this is the season of crops for corn. But if they don't deal with the corn the way they should and they put corn and let weeds grow, what happens to the corn? We would have fields and fields of weeds that have overtaken the corn. And as the sister said, it was good intentions to plant the corn, but then we didn't clean up what needed to be there. And so many times, that's what we do in our lives. We mean good and we plant good. We till the ground and we put in the work. But then when we start dropping the seeds, we drop a good seed, then we drop a bad seed. Then we drop a good seed, then we drop a bad seed. And then we drop a good seed and we drop a bad seed. And then we get mad and say, why am I not reaping anything? Because you've dropped two different seeds in your field, and now you've messed up your entire harvest. And as I said before, what you have to remember, when the time comes in your season to reap, you don't reap one plant. When you plant, you reap an entire harvest. So if you plant doubt, look at how much doubt you're finna reap. If you plant discord, look at the amount of discord that you're about to reap. As I said before, when we're looking in the scriptures, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So you have to watch what you put down, because exactly what you put down is what you're going to get back. Today, I was in church, and I was shouting, and I was happy. And next week, I got to walk all the way around the church because I can't stand Sister So-and-so sitting on the next seat. Or I'm in church, and I felt the anointing. I felt God. But then as soon as I got out of church, I started gossiping. I started putting down wrong seeds. So every good that you put down, if you put a bad down, you're just messing things up. So you have got to be careful. And you have got to understand where you're at in your season. And that's so important to us to begin to talk to God and understand where we're at. Because depending on where you're at in the season makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. And if you know that you're in an area of working, work. Don't stop. If you know you're in an area of planting, make sure that you plant the right thing. Make sure that you're doing what you need to do because you're looking for something from God. And see, the thing about understanding your time and your season is knowing I'm in expectation. See, when you get to the point you're putting in the seed, just like the sister said that she's doing the garden, she's in expectation of what's about to come. And you got to get excited. When you put that seed in the ground and you begin to do what you need to do and you're watering it, you got to get an expectation of something to come. You got to get excited knowing that it's working for my good. Even though it seems like I'm putting in some work and even though it seems like I'm doing something rough, it's working for my good. It's working for my good because I'm in expectation of what I'm going to receive. Knowing that God is about to do something for me because I'm putting in the work. I'm putting the work, and faith without works is dead. So my faith is alive. My faith is moving. I'm putting it in, so I'm in expectation. And the thing about knowing where you are in your season, you have got to be in expectation of something to happen from God.
Amen.
You have got to be in expectation.
The other thing was about the harvest that, like, you can plant one tomato plant, and you see the one tomato plant, but how many plants will come from that one tomato plant, you know, that it multiplies, that God multiplies even our blessings. So the seeds that we plant and the effort that we put in, the work that we do, he multiplies it. He gives us more, so it's greater than your expectation.
Exactly. Greater than your expectations. And one of the things that I talked about at my church, I preached on a message that said it's too small. Because we don't have a great enough expectation from God. He told us, he said, as far as the earth is from the heavens, are my thoughts from yours. We've got to get into a place to understand that just because I paid my tithes, I paid my offerings, I'm looking for my car note to be covered, I'm looking for my bills to make it. That's little to God. You got to get an expectation of knowing. You told me that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing that I wouldn't have room enough to receive. Understand that just having your bills and paid, that's not having room enough to receive.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what room enough to not having enough room to receive is knowing that I'm living in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And when you plant, you need to plant expecting abundance, expecting
Amen.
God to do more than you can imagine.
Amen.
So you need to be careful as to what you give out and how you give it out. Watch what you say and watch what you do and how you do it. Because knowing what you're sowing is what you're going to reap. And then, like I said, we have to watch what we let come out of our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
We have to watch what we say, because sometimes we just speak without thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we just say stuff. We get in a conversation and we just make comments, and we make what I call off-the-wall comments, and we don't think about what we're saying. You just simple things. Girl, I'm just so broke. You just planted the seed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I ain't got no money. You just planted the seeds.
That's right.
Simple things that we do. Girl, that boy of mine, he's so bad it don't make no sense. You just planted the seeds.
That's right.
You have got to watch the seeds that you plant. People ask me, how you doing? I'm blessed. Are you broke? No, I'm just in between blessings. Because I'm speaking a blessing. I ain't broke. Because I got a seed in the ground. I make the expectation. So I'm just in between harvests right now. That's all. But I'm not broke. We have to watch what comes out of our mouth. We have to watch what we say. We say so many things. We get up. We get a cough. I'm sick as a dog. You just
right.
put a seed in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Then you wonder, why am I so sick? Why I couldn't make it at work? You just put a seed in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
now you're sick. You have to watch just the very simple things that we say and do. We're cursing our own selves.
That's right. Speak
right,
life.
That's right.
We have to learn how to speak life. And people, especially over our children, like when I see, sometimes you see parents in the store, you know, and hollering and at their kids or cursing at their kids or saying he's so bad, like you just said, you know, making statements like that, or you're going to catch a death of cold and stuff, saying stuff like that and not knowing that they're cursing their children, that that's a curse. You've got to learn how to speak life to situations, speak life to people. You know, you say you look like you're sick and then wonder why the person's sick.
Exactly. And each time what we're doing, we're putting the seed in the ground.
That's
we're putting
right.
the seed in the ground. I used to, I talk to people, I tell them, stop telling you, we have single mothers, and the first thing they tell their son when they get on the nerves, you just like your no good daddy.
That's right.
You're speaking mm-hmm. the seed, you're speaking the seed that he's going to be no good.
Right.
You're putting the seed in the ground. My kids can be getting on my nerves, getting on my last nerves. I'd be like, you know what? You're still right in God's eye. You just need a little more saving. I'm speaking something in their life. Look, you still need a little more saving. There's some more deliverance that's needed, and I'm going to help you get it. But you just need some more deliverance. That's all. And God has placed
mm-hmm.
me here to help you get that deliverance. You know, we have
yeah.
to watch. It's just the very simple things we do. I hear people so many times every day, and that's what I like about this, because this is a teaching. It's interactive. And we have got to teach our children. We have got to teach ourselves. We have to teach our churches. Watch what you speak. Watch what you say. Because the thing is, a lot of times we don't take the Bible literally.
Mm-hmm.
And we have got to learn to take the Bible literally. The words
mm-hmm.
are there. We take certain things literally, but we don't take everything literally. And the thing is, the Bible is all the same across. We've got to take each and every word literally, because these are the words of God. You know, we'll take certain things. If I have the faith to move a mountain, the mountain is going to move. Well, we'll take that literally. But then we won't take something as simple as the words coming out of our mouth, what they mean.
Right.
You know, I hear people all the time. I grew up in a poor family. My mama was poor. My parents are poor. We poor. I ain't poor.
No.
I hear people all the time. We working class. I'm not working class. Yes, I work a job, but I'm not working class. I am loyalty. Well, what do you mean you're royalty? I am royalty because my father is rich. He owns all the houses and the lands. I speak royalty. He said that he came that I might have life and that I have might have life more abundantly. Working class is not having life more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
You have got to speak these things because each time you're planting a seed, you're planting a seed. I was telling my church last Sunday, when you get up and you give your tithes and offering, when you just put an offering in the basket, you're planting a seed. You should come up with excitement and expectation, knowing I'm putting a seed in the ground. I am in a planting mode, and while I'm planting, God, I'm in expectation for you to move on my behalf. I'm in expectation for you to take this which I have given, bless it, and then take it and watch what happens. Because I look back and I look at the parable of the fish and the loaves of bread. All he did was blessed it. And when he blessed it, it multiplied. We look for things to be so, we need something so dramatic. We need something so huge. And we don't see the simple picture. My father used to tell me all the time, a handful and God, and that's enough. If we just take and realize that if we give it our seeds to him when we plant them and we believe, we have the faith to believe, look at what we can receive. And the thing is, a lot of us are in that place that we're in the planting season. We've prayed, we've fasted, and don't get me wrong, you're always in the working season, always. But just like the farmer comes out, and I was doing some study about harvesting. They come out, and they have a specific time of the year, and they get out early, early to rise, and they till the land. And if you've ever watched them in the farming, they get out, and they till the land, and they get it ready. They do that early. And then after they get out and they till that land and get it ready, they come back and they plant their crops. And once they've planted the crops, they have a season of resting because they sit back and watch their crops grow and they do some watering and a little irrigation and they wait on their money to come. If we take that same concept and we put in the work and we plant the right seeds, all we got to do is sit back and watch God do what he has to do. Instead of worrying ourselves, instead of driving ourselves crazy, instead of trying to figure it out and trying to, I spoke it. It's my season. If it's your season, believe it. If you know you've did what you needed to do, you've put in the work, you've fasted, you've prayed, you've put the right seeds in, then why in God's name are you working yourself to death, driving yourself bananas, trying to figure things out? Because we're not in expectation of the proper times that we're in our season. This evening, I admonish you, get an expectation of God to do something for you. Wake up every day in expectation. Know that you've done, that you've done, that you've done, and then greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I've put in the work. God, you said that you're not a man that you can lie. So if I've done what you said that I need to do, I can sit back and expect you to do it. But our thing is, we don't sit back and expect God to do it. We say it's our season. We say we trying to figure out what time we're in the season, but then we're forever busy. And in all honesty, why is it that out where I live by a lot of, like I said, land with a lot of corn. And I have to honestly say, I don't see a farmer out every day. I don't see him out. I see the stalks growing. But I promise you, I don't see them walking through the fields every day. I see a lot of corn growing. I see the fields getting very tall, but I don't see no farmers out there every day because they've did what they needed to do and they're in expectation. Why is it that we've done what we needed to do, but we're not in expectation? Why is it that we keep trying to figure it out, trying to work it out, instead of just letting God do what he needs to do? If you say you believe it's your time and your season, then why don't you let it be that? Why is it that we can't find the way to just trust God? We say we trust him, but then we turn right around and doubt. So we're planting double seeds. Why is it that we can't move forward? Why is it that you ever notice that there are some of us, and I'm not trying to put nobody on blast, but you find yourself in the same situation every year about the same time. And you always say, I am not going to be in that situation again. I am not going to fall in that again. But right around the same time, every year, you find yourself in the same situation. You ever thought maybe it's because you keep planting the same crop? And see, here's the thing about planting. Once you planted it, it's going to keep coming up. So maybe you need to change what you're planting. Every year, a certain time of the year, you just find yourself dead broke. You get toward the end of the year and you're dying for tax season to get here because you're like, if I can just make it to tax time and file my taxes, I'm going to be okay. Every year, I seem to be right here. You get toward the holidays. You're trying to figure out how you're going to get the money to get through the holidays and how you're going to buy gifts and pay the bills still. And you always seem to fall in the same spot at the same time. Maybe you need to think about planting a different set of seeds. Because you keep planting the same thing, and you're going to keep getting the same thing back. And I believe that if it ain't working, it's time to try something different. If you keep getting a bad crop and you keep finding the same problems in the same situations, you might want to change things. You might want to think about changing what you're putting in the ground. You might want to think about saying, look at here, God, I need to try to start trusting you. I need to start being an expectation, I need to start putting a better seed in the ground. Because the seed that you put in the ground makes a huge difference. Amen?
Amen. I have a comment. Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
I also feel, too, that we as Christians sometimes we are very impatient and we try to move before God. And God is saying, you know, just wait. Let me work this out. There's a process. And I believe sometimes we are so impatient, so we step in, and then we mess up. And then we back to the same thing over again because we are so impatient and not willing to wait on the Lord to actually do what he said he's going to do for us.
Yes, ma'am, I agree, and that is so correct. That is so correct.
I believe that as well.
I agree. I preached a message Sunday. And the message said, delayed but not denied.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's where we are. We mm-hmm. think we've been denied, but we've just been delayed because we wasn't ready.
Exactly.
And God knew we wasn't ready. And as you said, we get impatient.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, in studying this and going through this and realizing, crops don't grow overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that's been on the line, that's been a gardener, knows that nothing grows overnight. It doesn't happen. You don't plant a small seed or have a plant and put it in the house, and tomorrow you have a tree.
Right.
I watch my neighbor, and my neighbor planted a tree. And I said, that's a beautiful thing, and I'm looking at how small that tree is. And I said, I figure that probably in the next couple years or so, that'll be a nice, big-sized tree. But it's going to take a moment for that tree to grow. It's got to let its roots sprout. It's got to do what nature intends for it to do in order for it to grow. And the same thing with us. We have got to realize that, first of all, God told us, said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he'd always be there for us. And we always quote the saying, he might not come when you want him, but he's right on time.
Mm-hmm.
but we don't never believe that. And what we have to learn is that God's time ain't our time.
Right.
But God knows when to move. And he'll move if you let him.
Exactly.
I was talking to the church and I told him, I said, you ever, those of us that have children, you're getting ready to do something for your kids and they trying to, you trying to prepare something or put something together for them and they just keep getting in the way or they keep bothering you or they keep, can I do this? Can I do that? Can I do this? What do you tell them? Go sit down. I'm trying to make something happen. Go sit down. Sometimes I feel that that's how God needs to do us. Go sit down. I'm trying to work this out for you. I'm trying to put it together. Go sit down. Because we get just like a little kid. If it don't happen right then, right when we want it, we get anxious and want to jump in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to learn that we got to let God do him. We got to let him do what it is that he's going to do. And he might not do it the way we want to do it. He might not do it how we would do it. He's not going to do it the way that we would think he was going to do it, but he'll get it done. But we got to first do our part. And our part is to watch what we're putting in the ground and to make sure we're putting it in good ground. You got to know where you're planting your seeds. Know that you're planting it in good ground.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger, they won't hear. You got to know where you're at. It says to know those that labor among you. Know where you're sending your money. Know what you're doing. Know the church. Know, and I'm not coming against no church because I don't come against people like that, but know where you're putting your tithes and offering. Know where you're sending your offering. Know that you're planting in good ground. Because, see, if you're planting in bad ground, you're not going to get nothing in return. Know that what you're doing it for the right reasons. Don't just be putting it in because that's your duty. How many of us was raised and taught, especially those of us that were raised in a Christian community or raised in a Christian house, we've taught from little kids to pay our tithes.
Mm-hmm.
But do we honestly understand why we pay our tithes? We just knew from a little kid, I know if I had $2, my mama told me I had to put 20 cents in church. I knew that I was supposed to pay 10%. But as I've gotten older, I understand and I've grasped why I do that and what to expect from it. But a lot of times, we just do it because. Sometimes we have people to do it to show off. We have people to do it because they want to look big. But I believe that if I just do what God tells me to do, if I do what he says to do when he tells me to do it, then my cupboard will never be bare. It's not about how much I give. It's not about, it's about doing what I'm supposed to do, but then believing God. And that's where we got to get to. We got to get to a point that if we're saying, Lord, it's my season and it's my time and my season, and we believe, God, that it's our time and our season, then we need to be in expectation. And so with that said, now that we've realized that we might have been in a time of planting, after the time of planting, we move to the time of reaping. And the time of reaping, this is your time of blessing. When the door is open, this is your time to move. But the thing about the time to reap also is that when it's your time to reap, you got to get up and do what you got to do. Because if you don't get up and get the crops, ain't nobody else going to pick them, and they go bad. And when the door is open, you got to move. Again, even when it's your time of reaping, and this is when it comes, when you, this is my season, it's my time. If you believe it's your season and it's your time, then why you won't get up and do what God tells you to do? It's been spoke to you, it's been told to you, and you're waiting on a big voice and sign to come down and say, I have told you that it is this and that. When God said, look, I told you, the door's open, move. Why is it that we can't move? We say we got faith. We done put in the work. We done planted the seed. We did everything we need to do, and now the door is open, but we won't go through it. The word comes and tell you, you're looking for that apartment, it's your time. Go get your apartment. What do we do? I don't know my credit. I don't know. If God told you to go do it, stand on what he said and go do it. It's your time of reaping. You've put in your work. But no, we let everything else get in the way. And we don't do what it is that we need to do. We have got to realize that if you've put in the work, expect the yield. As I said before, you have got to be in expectation of what God is going to do. You have got to anticipate and be expecting something from God. Just like he said in the verse, he said, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow. You got to know when it's time to sow. And when it's time to sow, sow it. But what I liked about that, he said, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. When the door is open, sometimes you need to know when not to speak. Stop giving out stuff that they ain't asking for. The Bible says the heart of the king is in God's hand. We go in and we volunteer stuff and give stuff, and then we wonder why things got messed up. If God said the door is open and you believe the door is open and they said come in and sign your name, come in and sign your name and do what you got to do. We have got to learn to trust God and realize that it's not hard as we make it. We make faith seem like we're trying to learn Mandarin. We make faith seem like it's something so big and so huge that it's hard. It's like, I don't know if anybody on the line has ever studied statistics. Statistics is kind of rough. It's a lot of math, and it's hard to learn. And unless you're really just a mathematician, statistics can be hard. We take faith and we treat it like statistics. And all in all, it's not. All we got to do is read it and do it. Read it and do it. Do what the Bible tells us to do. It is just that simple. And we can't get to that point. He tells us the door is open and it's open for us. And what do? We get nervous. We get scared. You done put in all this time. You done cried and worried and everything else. And now the door is open. You're scared to walk through it. Why is that? Because we just don't put our faith where it needs to be. Faith without works is dead. If I give you a gold card and I say, this is your card, all you got to do is activate it. If you don't ever activate it, what good is having that gold card? It's pretty. It's nice. It has power, but it can't be used until it's been activated. Same way we are with faith. God has given you a gold card, but you won't activate it. You got to activate it and put it to work. And the minute you activate it, things will start opening up for you. Amen? Amen. We're going to open the floor for any comments. Amen. Again, as we go to the scripture, and in chapter 3, verse 8. Yeah, verse 8. It says, a time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? You have to realize what time you're in. You've got to realize what time it is in your life. You've got to ask yourself, God, what time am I in? Am I in a time for me to put in work? If I am, God, let me put in work. And understand that putting in work ain't just, it's not just praying. It's not just fasting. Putting in work. Are you putting in work at your church? Are you showing up and doing what you're supposed to do? Are you being faithful to your services? Are you putting in the right work that you're supposed to put in? See, we feel if we pay our tithes and offering, we did enough. But what about showing up? What about your post? We put everything else in front of church. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, this came up. Oh, that came up. Oh, I can't make it. Oh, this came up. What kind of work are you putting in? And I believe that if you don't put in the right work in your crop, then you're going to have a raggedy crop. So you got to ask yourself, where am I at? Am I putting in the right work? Am I doing what I need to do? You need to do a self-check this evening. Check yourself and say, God, am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I where you want me to be? Where am I at in my life, dear God? See, this is something that only you and God can figure out. Can't nobody tell you, but God has to let you know where you are, because you can say what you want to say, and you can lie to some of the people, and you can put on a good facade, but God knows exactly where you at. And you got to say, God, where am I at? Am I doing what I need to do? Am I at the place that I'm supposed to be right now? Have I been putting in the work that I need to put in? Ah, yeah, okay, yodo, I see. God, have I put in the work that I'm supposed to put in? Ask yourself this evening, have you done what you're supposed to do? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you've done what you need to do? Or have you felt lackadaisical at church? Have you been just sitting in your seat? You just been a bench warmer. Have you gotten busy? What have you done? What have you done in life? We're almost at the end of the year. What have you done to help bring somebody to Christ? What type of work have you put in? Where is your seeds at? Have you been letting your light shine, or has your light bulb died out? Are you being a light to somebody? What kind of work are you putting in? Or has it that your light has gotten dusty and gotten covered, and so it's not as bright, and you haven't bothered to try to clean it off because you got too many issues and problems of your own? You can't talk to nobody else about God because you got your own issues. Why is it that you trying to figure out your stuff? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. So if you do what you need to do and you seek God and you understand that you're doing what you need to do, he said, I'll handle everything else. So this evening, I admonish you that as we're going through the lesson, check yourself and see where you're at. See if you've been doing what you need to do. Go back and see, God, have I been the person that I'm supposed to be? It could be that you got some issues with somebody and you haven't dealt with those issues yet. If you haven't dealt with those issues yet, your ground ain't where it needs to be. See, we look at our ground and we say, I'm working on the ground, but what about those idiosyncrasies? What about those things that's here? What about those hurts and stuff that we ain't got rid of? Those are weeds that's growing up in our ground. We got to get rid of that stuff because that's messing up our crop. We've got to let that stuff go. We got to let go of stuff that don't belong to us and stop holding on to it. We're holding on to something that happened 5 years ago, and we won't let God heal it. So our ground ain't been broke up. We still got some rough ground, and seed can't grow on rough ground. He said, a broken and a contrite heart, a broken and contrite spirit, oh God, that will not refuse. You got to get broken up. You have got to get your ground broke up. And this evening, somebody is still holding on to some things from childhood, some things from prior places in life, some other situations, and you haven't let your ground get broke up. And you're wondering, why can't I seem to make it? Why can't I seem to go forth? Why do I always get stuck at this point right here? Because you haven't put in the work to let your ground get broke up, and so you're not putting seed on good ground. But God is saying, I want to break you up. I want to deal with you. I want to fix those things, those areas that you've had issues, maybe in church where there might have been some church people that hurt you. I want to fix that. There might have been some areas and some hurts from prior things in life, maybe a divorce, maybe a breakup, maybe a separation that has hurt you. I want to fix that. And then you can get past that point and move forward. Amen? Amen. Are there any comments?
Seems like you're kind of just grabbing the perfect person, though. Is that you understand me?
Describing the perfect person?
Yeah, but it seems like that would be the perfect person. I agree with everything you just said, and. And you, it hits home, but it seems like that would be the perfect person.
Well, no, you wouldn't be the perfect person because we all have issues and we all have hurts. And what I'm simply saying is you've got to realize your hurts. You've got to dig deep and realize, I mean, nobody can be perfect, but we can begin to fix some of the things that's been wrong. We all got some things we hold on to. Some of us got that private room in our heart and in our head that we keep things closed in, that we won't let it out. And that's stopping us from moving forward because it's just like you got ground, but in the ground is rocks and it's other stuff in there and it's not letting things grow. And what I'm saying is we got to let God get in there and till that ground and tear it up. Tear it up. We got to let it go. We've been holding on to it so long, we got to start to let it go. Things that have made us mad, things that have just messed us up, we're still holding on to it, and it's not letting us grow. And our seed can't grow, and we can't reach the potential that God has for us to reach.
Okay.
It's not an issue at all of perfection because we have to strive for perfection. We can't be perfect, but at the same time, we can say, you know what, God, I give it up. I give it to you. Instead of just saying, I give my all to you, mean that you give it to him. Really let him have it and let him destroy it. Let him tear it up instead of holding on to it because that stops us from moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with that is that if we don't do that, we keep sowing bad seeds. And what I'm trying to get us to understand this evening, you need to be tired of sowing bad seed.
Okay.
Realize that it can be your season, but if you haven't put the right stuff in the ground, you can't reap the right stuff. And that's why you keep finding yourself in the same position time after time after time because you're sowing bad seeds. You're putting the wrong thing in the ground. And God said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly, but you can't have life because you're not letting it go and giving it to me. He's saying to somebody this evening, give it to me. Let it go. It's not yours. I can handle it. It's more than you can handle. Let it go. I want to move you, and I want to take you to another place. I want to take you to a place that you want to be in. I want to give you life more abundantly. But no, we won't let it go, and so for that case, we're just surviving. And surviving is not life. You're not living. You're just going from day to day to day, and you're in the same situation in the same place. And right when you think you're making it, boom, you find yourself right back in that same situation. But he's saying this evening, let it go. I'm here. Take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. I want to fix it for you this evening. I want to give you prosperity. I want to take you and give you success. I want you to have life more abundantly. But I need you to let it go and let me break it up. Let me tear up the ground so that you can have good seed this evening. He said, I know the plan. He said over in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. I got plans for you. I've got it all laid out. But you got to let it go and let me do what it is I want to do. I've planned this and I've laid it out. I had it planned before you were ever even born. I've got everything laid out for you, but you've got to let it go and let me do what it is I'm trying to do. He said, the footsteps of a good man are ordered by God. Let him order your steps this evening. Let him show you how to plant the right seeds. Let him show you how to be in a position to reap a harvest. You got to be in a position to be ready to reap. And the thing is, it's sitting there waiting on you. It's waiting, but you're not in a position. And you feel like, God, you just left me behind. He didn't leave you. You've just been you've been delayed, but you haven't been denied. Go ahead. I thought someone had a comment. And so I'm sorry, I digress a little bit, but I feel God speaking this evening that as we're going through this and as we're dealing with this, that there's somebody out there that's at a place. And he said, look, I'm here for you. whoever it is this evening, I'm here for you. You seem like you at the edge, and you're like, Lord, I can't deal with this no more. I can't deal with it no more. And God said, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. But you got to let it go. You got to give it to me. I'm here. I'm waiting on you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I'm here. I'm waiting. My hand is out. I want to help you this evening. But you got to realize, you got to trust God. You got to give it to God this evening. You have got to let him have it. He's saying that he wants to fix it. The hurt, the pain, the headaches, the strife, he wants to fix it. This can be your year of success. This can be your year. It's not too late, but you got to let God have it. You got to give it to God. Amen? Any comments? Amen.
Everyone's mic is open. If you have a comment, my brother, if you wanted to make another comment, that's okay. We're looking at 20 some odd minutes left. You can make a comment if you choose. Just want everybody to be blessed by the word.
Amen. And as we keep going, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm just saying, amen.
Amen.
I have a comment.
Oh, go ahead.
Hey, what I want to say was I agree with a lot of things that you say, and the fact of being stable, not double-minded. That's what I was dealing with. Sometimes I'll be in a situation where my mind might say one thing, and then I'm thinking another thing, and then do something else. So that's what I've been working on, is that kind of just baby steps, just kind of whatever I'm thinking, do it without changing my mind. So I know that helped.
Amen, and that is so true. You have got to, as she said, it takes baby steps. Nobody can fix everything overnight. But you've got to make it up. You've got to make a conscientious decision that, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you. And it's not easy. Believe me, it's not easy. And sometimes faith is one of the hardest things. But if we just trust him, my dad used to tell me a story. He said that there was a gentleman, and he was climbing a rock, and he fell off, and he was hanging on a ledge. And he began to holler and scream and said, help, is there anybody up there? And he didn't hear nothing. And he began to scream again, and he said, help, is there anybody up there? And the voice said, I'm here. Trust me. Let go. And he said, huh? And the voice said, trust me. I'm here. Let go. And he began to holler, help, is there anybody else up there? And so many times, that's how we are with God. God is saying, trust me and let go.
Mm-hmm.
But we're saying, is there anybody else up there? Because I can't let go, because all I see is the ground beneath me. But he will not let you fall. And the thing I like about God is that he knows exactly where we are. That's what you got to understand. He knows exactly where you are right now, right at this time, right at this point. He knows where you are. You can try to hide as much as you want, but he knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're dealing with. He knows everything there is to know. He's omnipresent. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. He knows exactly where you are. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're working with, whatever you're striving to deal with, he's right there. And he's saying, I'm here. I'm here. Just try me. Just give me a chance. And it's not easy, because you're trying to figure it out. You're trying to figure out which way to go. You want to trust God. But at the same time, you're trying to trust God, it looks like everything is sitting in front of your face. But you got to remember that Satan comes to paint a serious picture. But you have got to remember one thing. He is an illusionist, and he will paint a great illusion. Satan is the master of a green screen, and he will create a picture that looks so real. But you have got to trust God and know that, God, you said it, I stand on it, and I believe it. You have got to have faith to know that he's going to make a move. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Bishop, let me just hold one minute. I keep hearing someone rattling papers or something in the background. I leave all the mics on for you to make a comment so you don't have to hit one. But please be cognizant. Please beware of, as we are spiritually speaking to one another, that it is a distraction. When we hear the paper or anything in the background, it becomes a distraction. So if you have to do that, please pot your mics down. We can hear everything in the background. Thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. And again, back to where we were. We were talking about being your time of reaping and knowing when the door is open. And understand that when God opens the door, can't nobody shut it. But when God shuts the door, can't nobody open it. And if you're in that time and you're in your time of reaping, get up and do what God told you to do. Don't be scared. If he told you to do it, stand on it. Stand steadfast and know that I trust in who I believe. This is my time. Mm-hmm. It's my time of reaping. It's my time of success. This is where God has placed me at this moment in this time, and I'm going to do what God said do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not never easy. But if you stand on his word and believe in the word that he has given us and know that you know that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt that greater is he that is in me, and know that he's not going to let you fall. You've got to understand and trust God and watch God move and watch him do what he's got to do. Because I promise you that depending on what time you're in your season, God is about to make a move. And as I'm sitting here, I hear God say, I'm turning it around. I don't know who it's for, but I hear God say, I'm turning it around. Ah, yeah, okay, huh, Yodobasi. It's being turned around right now. Your situation is being turned around. I hear God say, I'm turning it around. I'm turning it around. Ah, yeah, okay, how y'all about? See, I'm turning it around. You thought it looked one way, but God said it's about to go another way.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's going this way, but God said, no, I'm turning it around. Just trust me and watch what I'm about to do.
Right.
I promise you, the situation seems like it's going one way, but he said it's not. I am turning it around.
Amen.
This is your time of turnaround. This is your evening. This is your time of turnaround. God said, I am about to move on your behalf. Stand still and watch me move. I promise you, it's about to take place. It's about to happen. You seem like you had a brick wall, but God said, I got you right where I want you. I've got you right where I want you, because now you've got to watch me move. You've got to watch me work. And I promise you, he's about to move. He's about to move. I'm sorry. I get excited when God begins to speak, because I realize that what God gave as a message and what God gave as a teaching is a speaking into someone's life this evening. Because I keep hearing God say, it seems like you're right at wit's end. You seem like you was at wit's end, but I am standing. I'm knocking. And if you just open the door, I want to fix it this evening. I want to fix it for you this evening. I want to turn it around for you this evening. You don't have to hold on to it no more. You don't have to hold on to it no more. You don't have to go back to what you think is behind you, but reach forward, forgetting those things which are behind me, forgetting them, leaving them, and reaching forward. Press. Don't give up this evening. Press. The devil is telling you, no, you got to go back to this. This is the only way to do it. Don't do it. Don't go back. Press. I promise you, if you just press this evening and reach forward, God said, I'm about to open up the door. Don't turn around. Don't let the devil trick you this evening. Don't let the devil trick you this evening. There's a trap waiting. And I don't know who I'm speaking to, but there's a trap waiting, because you think, you know what, I got to go this way. I got to go this way. But I hear God say, don't go to the left and don't go to the right. Stay on the course and stay going forward and watch me move, because Satan has a trap set for you. But God said, I'm working it out. I'm working it out. I'm working it out. Just let me move. Let me move this evening. Somebody give him some praise. He's worthy. He's worthy.
Hallelujah.
I thank God for what he's doing. I thank God for what he's saying. I thank God for understanding that no matter where you are in your season, that God is still right there with you. And that's what you got to realize. No matter where you're at in your season, no matter what time it is, know that God is with you. Know that he's with you. Know that he's right there no matter what. Know that whatever you're going through, he's right there with you. Whatever you're dealing with, he's right there with you. No matter what time it is in your season. And even if it's not your time of reaping yet, it's still a time of blessing, because no matter what you're doing, you're in anticipation of what God is about to do. And you have got to be in anticipation. You need to anticipate that it's working for my good. No matter how hard it seems, it's working for my good. No matter what it seems like, it's working for my good. And keep telling yourself, it's working for my good. I was talking to someone, and I was telling them about the Hebrew boys. And I said, you know what? When they went in the fire, it didn't look good at all. But they were shackled when they went in the fire. And why they was in the fire, the only thing that the fire destroyed was the shackles. Because when they came out, they were free. And sometimes it seems like we're going into the fire or going into the storm, but it's actually working for your good, because there's something in there and there's a blessing. And where you were shackled to something and tied to something, the fire is going to set you loose and release you. So sometimes it may seem like it just ain't finna get better. It seemed like it just ain't working out, but he said it's working for your good. It's working for your good on this evening. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but it's working for your good. Don't give up now. Don't give up now. You're right there at the right at a blessing. And I hear God say, don't give up. Now is not the time to quit. The race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but to he that endureth to the end. Even if you got to crawl, make it to the end. But you've made it to the shallow water, don't drown now. You can't drown in shallow water. You swam through the deep and you've made it to this point. Don't drown. Don't give up, because you're right at your blessing. You're right at the point that the door is about to open. And it might seem like it's never going to happen, but you're right there. Don't let the devil trick you this evening. Don't let the devil trick you. You're right at the point that you're about to reap your harvest. Don't fall apart. Don't do it. Don't fall apart. Don't give up this evening, because there's a blessing standing there waiting on you. I promise you, there's a blessing standing there waiting on you. You're about to walk into the promised land. So I admonish you this evening, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. And no matter where you are, keep thanking him. Lord, I thank you. I might be in the working area, and I might have to be at the point that I'm working, God, but as I'm working, I'm thanking you, because it's working for my good. As I'm breaking up the ground, I'm thanking you, God. As I'm giving it to you, I'm thanking you, God. As I'm working it out, I'm thanking you, God, because it's working for my good. If I'm sowing seeds, I'm thanking you, God. As I'm sowing seeds, I'm thanking you. As I'm sowing the right thing, I'm thanking you. I'm giving you blessing. I'm giving you grace, and I'm thanking you as I'm sowing. I'm thanking you as I'm putting it down, because it's working for my good. I know it's on the way. It's about to happen. I'm in anticipation of something good about to take place in my life. Mm-hmm. Amen. Do we have any comments? Amen. Well, I thank God. I thank God. I thank God. Bishop, I was looking. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to add a natural scenario from what you've been saying, just to give God the praise, especially for the women who can relate. When you go through labor and you give birth, that seed that has been planted has now grown to maturity. And when that seed that's been planted and grown to maturity, the pain, the labor, the intensity of pushing that baby out, or whatever process it is for the baby to come out, nothing can compare to that type of pain for many women. But you never know the fruit of your seed until after they hit the baby and you hear the baby cry. Because you still push the pain, you still push through the pain, and you give birth and you think it's over, but you don't know that it's fruitful until you hear the cry. And in the spirit realm, when we hear the cry, God is answering our tears. He's hearing our prayers. He's hearing the cries that are going out. And he's just saying, as you spoke earlier, again, to allow the people of God to mount up. I hear your cry. I see the pain that you're going through. I knew that you were going to go through it. But the blessing comes after you stop crying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to dry them tears up and move forward.
Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Monica. That's our co-pastor. I thank God for her. She's an awesome teacher. And just like she said, it's time to dry up the tears and it's time to move forward and know and understand that, like she said, labor pains come, but at the end of them, look at what you get. There's a blessing. And sometimes it's the same way. The pains come and we deal with the pains, but there's a blessing. There's a blessing in the making. And we thank God for the blessing in the making. And I was just, as I was sitting here, I was looking at some of my notes, and I was looking over in Joshua, the fifth chapter, and then around the seventh verse, and it was talking about the children of Israel and how after they were in the wilderness and after how everyone had died off and all of the ones that was there hadn't been circumcised, and they were in Gilgal. And sometimes that's where we find ourselves. It wasn't that they weren't in the wilderness. They weren't in the wilderness, but they hadn't made it to the promised land. They were in an in-between spot. And in that in-between spot is where the circumcisions were being taken place. And sometimes that's where we are. We in an in-between spot, and we're being circumcised because sometimes things just got to be cut off. And why they were there, not only were they being circumcised, but they were being made whole so that they would be ready to go into the promised land. And that's the way we are sometimes. We're at an in-between spot because, see, there's some things that have latched onto us and some things that are caught onto us, and God is circumcising. He's taking them off. And while he's taking them off, we're being made whole, and we're being put back together so that we'll be ready to go into the blessing that he has in store for us. It's not that God has forgot about you, but God is getting you prepared for what's in store for you. He's getting you ready for that which is waiting on you, because there's already a blessing in store for you, but you need to be ready for it. And see, everybody can't go everywhere you're going. And there's some people that's latched on to you and some things that's latched on to you, and they can't go with you into the promised land. They can't go into where God is taking you. And so there's some cutting that's taking place. And it doesn't mean that you're not about to step into what God has for you, but God has got to get you ready. He's breaking you up, and he's getting you ready, and he's preparing you to take you into the place that he wants you to be in. But understand that just because you're in that in-between spot, it doesn't mean that God has forgotten about you. Just because you're in that in-between spot doesn't mean that God has given up on you. Because even while they were there, they were able to get fruit. They were no longer getting manna, but they were getting fruit. They were getting some of the blessings. They just hadn't got 100% because they hadn't went into the promised land. You're at a point that God is giving you some blessings, but he's also preparing you to get you ready for what's in store for you. And the thing is, you got to understand, when circumcision comes, it hurts. When you get cut, it hurts. But it does heal. And when something's been attached to you, and it's been with you for a long time, it hurts. When there's been a hurt and there's been things going on in your life and you're learning to let them go, it hurts to let them go because they've been a part of you so long. But God is saying, if you let me take this and let me get rid of this, I can prepare you to go to where you need to go. Because I've got a harvest waiting on you. I've got a harvest ready for you. But you need to be able to go into your harvest and need to be prepared for it. I don't want you to go into the harvest with different things on you. I want you to go and be prepared and ready to get what I got for you. So understand this evening that it may seem rough and it may seem hard. It may seem like you're in a place that God has totally forgotten about you, but he hasn't. At the end of the day, it's still your season. Know what time it is in your season. Know what time it is in your season. And while you're in that time, do what God has for you to do. Don't fall off. Don't quit. Don't give up. Just because it seems like it's dark, don't give up. Just because it seems like it's rough, don't give up. Because your harvest is right there. Your harvest is right there waiting on you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Any comment?
I actually have one. When you were speaking about how the devil make illusions, I was just thinking because a lot of job offers was coming to me, and I'm at UPS, but it's not paying me the money that I need, but it's providing. So when you kept saying, you know, just hold on, you know, your blessing is there, don't leave, don't move, you know, and I just felt like you were talking to me because one part of me is saying, oh, I need more money, I need more money, so go for the job with more money. And then every time I'm about to move, something happens, like with the job, it don't go through, or something happened where I don't want the job. So after hearing you talk about that situation, it kind of gave me my confirmation answer to just stay there, because my supervisor here told me today, like, I'm going to get a review, like my first 6 months reviewed at the end of the year. So I hope that will help out. But before, it's only a couple more months for the end of the year, but I was trying to, you know, change jobs because I was just tired of struggling, tired of not having enough, and I was going to go for the one with the more money. But after hearing what you said, it just gave me confirmation to just wait and see what God will do for me at that job.
Amen. And believe and trust God and know that if God put you there, and I know God put you at that job, he's going to open up the door for you. So don't forfeit what God has for you, because there's a blessing in the making. So don't forfeit what God has for you. Don't forfeit it and watch God move. And I know we're in a Bible study, but John, as I was sitting here, I heard God say to tell you it's your time. I don't know why, but I heard God say the answer is yes. It's time to get up and make a move, and it's your time. You've been doing what you've been doing with Blog Talk Radio, and it's been beautiful, but now it's time for another move. And I hear God saying it's your time. It's your time. The door is open. It's time for you to do what you got to do. God has given you a mandate, and it's time for you to do what you got to do. You and your wife have nothing but word down inside of you. And getting it out over the air is one thing, but God said that it's your time to lead his sheep. And I just keep hearing God say, my shepherd, my shepherd. And I hear God saying, it's your time. He's going to open up the door and he's going to make the way. But there's a word that's down inside of you two as far as ministry is concerned that God wants to birth out. And I know your wife can feel it. There's like a birthing inside that's ready to come out. And there's like a fire and a quakening, and it's ready to come out. And God said, because it's your time. Man of God, it's your time to make a move. God has opened up the door, and now the time is yours. Get ready, get ready, get ready, because as you make this move, God is going to open up the door for other things for you. So things that you've had on the back burner that you want to move forward with, God said, I'm about to move. I'm about to take those things. Some things that you've had that you wanted to put together, and I don't know why. I see God with like dreams that you've had, and you've kind of set them on the back burner, but God said, now is the time to move forward. Now the door is open. Now is your time, man of God. So get ready to do what God has told you to do, and watch the blessings of God open up for you.
Amen.
I truly thank God. I thank God for what he's done. I thank God for his word on this evening. I thank God for all that he's given us. And I hope that you were blessed by the word of God that was given this evening. And I'm going to turn it back over to the hands of the man of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord. Praise
God.
All I can say is just what a powerful word that you have embedded in our spirit. I pray that each and every one of you who have been listening, you know, all of the 10-plus callers that have been listening, we pray that you've been blessed. Even those of you who have been listening through Internet, we pray that you are blessed. We are all one body. This is a Bible blog, and we just come together just to be blessed, to be encouraged, and we do for being a part of this. Bishop, the God truly spoke to you through you this evening. And I thank you for the word we received, what you have just imparted in our spirit. We do thank you for that. As we get ready to close, I don't know, my wife wanted to make any comments before we get ready to close out.
I just want to say thank you so much for the word, the teaching this evening. It was really a blessing. And thank you for speaking into our lives. We truly appreciate it. We truly appreciate it. We appreciate your obedience to God and the message that you've given us. Thank you.
Amen. At this time, we do thank each and every one of you once again for tuning in. Be blessed. And we pray that you would just move forward as you continue to plant good seeds, as the bishop has mentioned. We thank you once again, bishop. We thank your wife. We thank you for the church, all those who have participated. You've always been a blessing each and every time that you've come on, and we do thank you. And we are looking forward for you to be a part of this blog again. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Thank you. Until next Wednesday, thanks for you.
Amen.
Amen.
Follow the way.